Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome in to the Sports Objective as we have a beautiful Tuesday night. If you're watching live on YouTube and Facebook, in fact, like our Facebook page, and you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got a lot of cool stuff to tell you about that in the coming weeks. But with us right now, glad to have my brother from a different mother, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Great to be back on the show. How you doing, man?
Oh, I've been better, Dave. You know, a lot of people know, and I'll spit it out here before we get to the show. If you don't know, at this point, I have colon cancer, you know, surgery as of right now is on the 22nd. I go in tomorrow for another colonoscopy to make sure everything is everything before they do the surgery, and there's no surprises. So letting Pirate Nation know, keep me in your thoughts and prayers, and, you know, as we look forward to Pirate football season, hopefully things go well, and, you know, I'm up and about and on my feet, and cheer for the Pirates for before too long.
We're pulling hard for you, and I know that if anybody can do it, you can, my friend. Hashtag Team Kyle. Bubba Rosenbaum, what is up tonight in China Grove?
Guys, just getting ready for school. You know, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield, you know, back to school. But, you know, the kids come bright and early in the morning, and systems around the state, but excited to see the kids and get things underway.
Well, our kids don't start till the 29th, so we still have a few more weeks. We have the cool kids. They start on the – no, I'm kidding. It just seems weird. I don't know. Kevin Monroe, glad to have you back. Former DB in the Logan era, and then how many seasons now on the Pirate Sports Radio Network? I think is it 18?
This is my 20th coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time is flying.
Fall of 03 was my first season, and this will be my 20th coming up.
Wow. For some reason, I thought 04, but, you know, I was never good for math. You know, like I'm a East Carolina Pirate, so forgive me for that. But anyway, glad to have you, buddy, back on. It's this time, I don't know what it is about this year, Kevin. I think with the COVID years have been so crazy. I'm forever grateful for things now even more. But one of the things, the sports, this particular case, East Carolina football, I know you've got to be pumped up. I know you had to be excited right now, knowing that fourth year under Mike Houston. I was thinking about this getting ready on Monday, of all things, that this guy has really built a foundation like a house. And if you think about that, 4 years, the offensive and defensive line, and you've been here, Kevin, you know what he was dealing with, what cards he was dealt when he came here. I wanted you to start off the conversation tonight with you. What are your thoughts from the time that you met Mike Houston at his press conference? We were there to now. What's changed about the program for you?
Well, it's the size and the speed of the players, right? As you alluded to, the cupboard was a little bit bare when he got here, and everyone said from, you know, the places that he'd been, Lenore Ryan and such, that, you know, James Madison, he'd won everywhere that he'd been, and so you get here. And, you know, you get a couple seasons in and we're still not winning, but you're trying to tell people, hey, just hang on. We're laying the fabric for what's to come. And it's just after getting used to losing, you know, we had three straight losing seasons before he got here, not counting the end of the Ruff era. I think that last season for Ruff was a losing season. So it was tough, but you started to see those recruits come in. And now when you see the Pirates play on Saturdays, we look like everyone else in the AAC. We have the same size. We have the same strength. We have the same speed. In some places, we're better. And you couldn't say that before. And so a lot of people have become Mike Houston believers, especially after the winning season last year. But just looking at the team, looking at the players they're bringing in, just get excited about being able to watch guys that can really wow you on Saturdays.
Yeah, Kevin, you bring up Coach Houston. Obviously, I think in many regards, you know, Coach Houston definitely is a player's coach, but at the same time, he doesn't sugarcoat things. And he said that in multiple press conferences. He said, quite frankly, you know, back when I took over in December 2018, that, you know, we didn't have a ton of talent and, you know, much speed, and we're slow. And just we were deficient in a lot of areas, he said. But now that's not the case. We look like an AAC team, like you were just referencing.
Yeah, it's no question. It's night and day. And Jeff Charles and I would sit up there in the booth, and we just think, man, you know, if these guys get around the edge, we can't catch them. They're just too fast. Or, you know, if they just run the ball right down the middle, we can't stop them. They're just too big up front. And so there were so many instances where, you know, our DBs didn't match up against other teams' receivers, and your D-lines, it matches up against the other team's offensive line. And so it's finally got to the point to where we don't come into a game thinking we're going to be outmatched. You know, there might be a scheme that gets us every now and then. There might be a player at quarterback or a player at running back that's just really, really good. But in terms of O-line, D-line, DBs, receivers, we look like everybody else, and we've got the same type of talent.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed about this team, you listen to some of the interviews after the practices, interviews with the players, is this team is much more confident even than last year's team. Guys like Keaton Mitchell, Roger Harris, on down the list, you can just tell the confidence. They expect to win. They expect to beat NC State Labor Day weekend, you know, despite the 13th national ranking. This team is extremely confident.
Yeah, you know, I got some background noise. I was trying to keep it on mute when I wasn't talking, but I can remember the first four games of 1999. You know, we had West Virginia, South Carolina, Duke, and
Miami.
Yeah. And so Coach Logan would say to us, you know, hey, he came to all the seniors and said, hey, I want to see if we can win two of these and then make a run in the conference. And as seniors, as captains, as team leaders, we said, hey, we want to win them all. And so I can understand some of these guys being confident and knowing how good they are, knowing what they did last year, thinking, hey, we can win some of these games on this schedule. No need to shy away from them, especially opening up at NC State.
No question, Kevin. You know, with the very fact of NC State coming to town, a rival game, your coach even said they should put it on every single year. NC State should be the last game of the year, especially from the NC State perspective, so they wouldn't take us for granted. But I'll tell you something. All you hear about is NC State. All you're hearing about NC State from the commentators, we're probably the only commentators, well, obviously the rest of the Pirate media is as well, that gives the Pirates a chance. Everybody else is saying how the NC State is going to come down here. They're going to steamroll the Pirates. And I'll tell you one thing. Maybe Dave Doran doesn't, but I'll tell you one thing. NC State better be ready, because I just have a good feeling it's going to be a really hard-fought game. I think it could actually go either way, but nobody's going to come in here and blow the Pirates out. Now, if it's two or three years ago, I would be holding my nose just praying, can we keep it close? And I hate to say that publicly, but that's truly we try to be as transparent as we can. And I know you guys probably get in trouble sometimes for being honest, but that's what I love about listening to you guys, including Marty Fuhrer and David Horn's the best in the business too. But you guys are such a tremendous team. But, you know, if the sky is falling, if it's raining outside and you say it's sunshine, people are not going to listen to you. And that's one thing I love about you guys. But I really love the fact, what I was getting to, my long-winded response is the fact that I really feel like in your era in the 90s, that you guys had a chip on your shoulder. And I really feel like now, starting last year, maybe after that, maybe the Marshall game, there was some point last season, we finally started to see that chip back on the shoulder again. And I didn't know how, when I knew you were coming on, I wanted to mention about the chip. So I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, you know, I work in Raleigh, live in the Triangle. And so I'm inundated with State fans and Carolina fans and you know, around me at work and in my neighborhood. And I'm not hearing a whole lot from State fans. And here's the reason why. It's because they have all the pressure. Being ranked 13th, and some think they should be top 10. So being ranked that high, if the game is close, that's not good for them. They drop in the rankings. If they lose, they maybe drop out of the rankings. And so they have to win and win convincingly to let people know that the rankings made sense and that they were supposed to be there. And so they are very nervous because they don't expect to blow the Pirates out. I think they expect to win, but they know coming into Greenville is going to be a rowdy fan base and a tough place to play against a bowl team last year. And so, I think the Pirates have a right to be confident, you know, a little bit cocky because they have nothing to lose. If they lose, they were supposed to lose. Number 13 team in the country. But they want to beat this team. The majority of the kids on our team probably weren't offered a scholarship by NC State. And so they want to show the Wolfpack what they missed out on, whether they would have gone there or not. And so that's that chip that we always had. And Coach Logan told us all the time, you know, we're about to play West Virginia. None of you guys was offered by West Virginia. None of you guys could play for West Virginia. That's what they say. That's not what I think. And so that's how we always approached the game. That's how we got that chip on our shoulder, because we wanted to show people how good we were. There was no transfer portal back then, you know. There weren't guys leaving after a couple of years to go play somewhere else. You got to East Carolina, you stayed 4 or 5 years, and you put your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And so that's where the chip came from.
Yeah, you know, NC State being ranked 13th, like you said, all the pressure's on them. They come to Greenville. We got a football team that compete with them. And if we lose to them, they're not going to blow us out. I'd be shocked if they blew us out. And if we lose to them, let's say we lose by a touchdown or even 10, that game doesn't make or break our season. Just like if we beat them, and guess what? Old Dominion comes in here the very next week. They got everybody back on offense. They went to a bowl game last year. So if we beat them, then lose to Old Dominion, you know, takes away all the momentum. So win or lose that game, it doesn't make or break our season. There's a lot of football game left to be played, and I hope Pirate Nation realizes that when we're playing the Wolfpack. Because, you know, some of our fans, if we don't beat North Carolina or North Carolina State, they tend to lose their minds. So, I hope people keep this in mind. I do think we can beat NC State, but they are 13th ranked team in the country. And that Old Dominion team coming in here the very next week, they're a pretty good football team. They won 5 out of their last 6 to get to a bowl, lost their bowl game, and but they got everybody back, and that's not going to be an easy game week 2. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they upset Virginia Tech in Norfolk to open the season, and I kind of hope they do, because no matter what happens against NC State, if Old Dominion upsets Virginia Tech, that'll get our attention to play them the following week.
And then, Kev, how about you have Campbell, even though it's home, they have the #1 recruiting class in FCS. So everybody that thinks that the Fighting Camels
and moving to the CAA, Campbell's on the rise.
Yeah, and then you have Navy. That's no walk in the park. So yeah. I really believe that we'll do well this season. But for anybody that, for what we've been through the last few years, that just thinks that we have cupcakes on the schedule or easy wins, and Kevin, you know, as a competitor, same thing with Bubba, a win is very hard to come by. I know Ruff used to talk about how hard it is to win. Even when you're confident, it's hard to win. So these games, just because they look like the same way with the pro level high school, just because it's a win on paper doesn't mean you're going to win on Saturday or whatever day you're playing a college football game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you guys brought up 99. You know, we were a better team than obviously UAB. We were a better team in my mind than Southern Miss, and we found a way to lose both those games. And so those things happen. But you get these teams on the schedule like a Campbell. And I was actually teammates for a short while with Mike Minter, head coach at Campbell.
Oh, man.
With the Carolina Panthers. And Mike was just an unbelievable guy, treated everybody like they were a first-round draft pick. And he actually offered – so Thomas Davis, you guys know Thomas Davis, the former Carolina Panthers linebacker. He actually offered Thomas Davis Jr. as an eighth grader a full scholarship, because they know it's hard to get people to come to Campbell and play football, so they got to get on them early. And TJ – Junior is going to be a good player. And so that's the type of things that he's got going on there. And he's going to bring a tough team into Greenville. You know, I don't know if they can match up with the Pirates, but certainly nobody's coming into Greenville thinking they can just, they're just going to lay down and give it to us. Everybody's going to give us a hard game.
No doubt about it. And with the schedule this year, by the way, tough break today hearing about that some of the Pirates have food poisoning. That's obviously tough. I wanted to ask you as a player, did you ever have anything like that happen with your team or teammates? Getting ready for the interview today, I knew that was another question I want to ask you. As a team, that's tough, especially not only that, but the coaches, they work so hard getting ready for a game plan. And then Of all things, fall camp is not when you want to have you never want to have that happen on game week as well. But fall camp, getting ready for the season, is a tough break.
Yeah, the biggest distraction slash situation we had obviously was the hurricane and the flooding from Floyd, and with us being trapped in South Carolina and staying there for a week, and guys finding out that they lost their apartment on the news because we weren't there to be able to go take a look at things. And so that was such a tough time, and that was one of the greatest opportunities for teams to come together that I've ever been around. And so the guys really latched on to one another and played harder, fought harder, because they knew the team just had their back. So, these guys will get through this. It's a tough time. There's always distractions. There's always things that happen. But as a team, you got to find a way to get through it.
Yeah, Kevin, one of the things that's really intriguing going into this season, and there's certainly numerous position battles to keep an eye on, but in the defensive backfield, you obviously lose Jaquan McMillan. So let's start off there with that having been your position playing corner. Talk about some of the options that the Pirates have there, because there's definitely no shortage of options. But you have a pre-Washington coming in from Buffalo, as well as some JUCO options, and plus some guys that had already been on campus.
Yeah. So, and you guys have probably seen the team play more than I have. I've only been following from afar. But what I will say is that to have a guy like, Jaquan McMillan leave, who I thought was the best defensive player on the team last year, same thing on offense, to have a guy like Tyler Snead leave, I thought he was the best player on offense, it's going to leave a big gap. And then you also lose Nolan Johnson. He's no longer in the program. And so those are two of the corners that played the most. And then you bring in Malik Fleming. Obviously, he was the third one that's played the most. So he's got to be the guy to step up and be the leader back there. He's got to hold down one of those corner spots. And just hope, you mentioned Washington, there's a couple other guys, Powell's one that comes to mind, but there's a couple of guys that can step in and play, and they've got to get it done, because in the defensive backfield, that's where you can't be weak. It's one thing to have a good pass rush up front. It's another thing to have some solid linebackers that can protect you, kind of mid-range. But if you're weak deep, teams will find it and they will exploit it. And so I'm not up on how those guys are doing, how it's coming, but the word I'm hearing out of camp is there's a lot of competition. And they're expecting some big things from some of these transfers.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've got a lot of folks chiming in on Facebook as well as YouTube tonight. Going back very quickly to that season opener against NC State, Peanut Butter Hero on YouTube says, Mark Rogers TV, the voice of college football. That YouTube channel is calling for an upset. And also, I know Phil Steele, I've heard him in multiple interviews say that he expects this game to go down to the wire. Even though it's 10 or 11 points in Vegas, it is, in his mind, just a three-point spread.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I expect it to be a close game. It's tough. If you follow NC State, and this is not me picking on them, but generally they have easier games to start the season. They come into the season usually unranked, and they'll have three or four games. I won't call them cupcakes, but they'll have three or four easier games to start their season, and they'll win them all. And all of a sudden, they are ranked in the top 25 or just outside top 25, and they get into ACC play, and they start to falter, and they fall back out. This year is the first time in a while I can think of that they've had a really tough game against a bowl, a bowl opponent from the year before to play, game one. And so it's a lot of pressure. And you know how people, the coaches always talk about the amount that you get better from game one to game two. And so to catch them early on like this, even though they've got a lot of stuff returning, there's going to be a lot of mistakes made. There's going to be a lot of, holding penalties and offsides penalties and all the things you deal with early in the season. And so you just never know. A turnover here, a turnover there, somebody making a play on offense, it could turn into a close game or maybe even an upset.
Talk about making plays on offense. Obviously, Keaton Mitchell last year had several touchdowns in excess of 50 or 60 yards, starting with that swing pass that he took to the house against App State down in Charlotte. But in addition to Keaton Mitchell, man, that running back room is stacked with Rajay Harris, and then you have Pop McKay, you have Marlon Gunn, you have Kamaru Edmonds transferring back into North Carolina. So no shortage of talent there, and that's what you would expect, because this staff has made no mistake about it. You know, they weren't shy about their ambitions to run the football.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Rajee Harris was a savior. I mean, he was the guy that was in there making plays. He scored big touchdowns. He was always picking up the first downs. You know, he was the guy with the 100-yard games, and we thought, man, what a great freshman he was. And Keith Mitchell, oh, he's pretty good too. He'll kind of come in there and give us a little thunder and lightning. He'll be that speed, and you know, he'll make some plays. But he wasn't the big play guy, you know, 2 years ago. Then all of a sudden, last year, you know, Keith Mitchell hits the scene, and now he's the guy, and he's and his speed is unmatched. I think next to Chris Johnson, I don't think there's been a pirate that's as fast as Keaton Mitchell, maybe ever. And I was a fast guy, but I'm nowhere compared to what Keaton Mitchell and those guys can do. And so to see his speed on the field, he gets a step on somebody, you're not catching him. And that's a great weapon to have as a quarterback, as an offensive line. Just give him a little bit of a crease, and he's gone. So to have both these guys come back, we heard a lot about Pop McKay last year. He never really got his opportunity. Maybe he'll get some time this year. And then some of the other guys that you mentioned, very deep in the running back room, maybe one of our deepest positions. And to have two guys, you know, that are, you know, preseason picks to be up the top of the all-conference AAC is pretty impressive.
Kevin, that very fact, when he said that he could get even faster, that's scary. Would you say that the person that – he's not the same back, but he's the fastest, I think, since Chris Johnson. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was saying is I think that Chris Johnson was a guy that just obviously was just – light the world on fire, and it took him a while to learn how to play running back. It wasn't until Junior Smith came in and started to work with him that he started running in between the tackles, because early in his career, I kept saying, move him to wide receiver, because every time he got the ball, he bounces to the outside, and it was useless having him at running back. And then he started to figure out how to run in between the tackles. He realized that, hey, I can break one up the middle, just as same as I can break one around the edges, but I'll let my offensive line help me out. And Keith Mitchell is that type of back. He doesn't mind running up in the middle. But if you give him a crease, he's going to go. If you get him some room on the outside, he's going to go. And so having that kind of threat is huge.
And the reason those guys are able to do what they do is because of the tremendous offensive line depth and increased talent that we've brought in over the last few seasons. And I'll tell you, a reflection of that, not only do you have a legitimate two deep now and you feel good about, you know, 9 or 10 guys that you can play, you see it reflected in you because you see Steven Igo with hoistthecolors.net talking about Jacob Saker coming in and how good he's looking. And then on the defensive side, the depth there as well and improved talent. And you have a guy like J.D. Lampley, a true freshman, coming in and performing well, who Coach Houston says he really has a chance to get into the rotation. And that's saying something with what we have on hand.
Yeah, I'll start with the offensive line. I think that, you know, one thing I talked about in the very beginning was our size. And so I think that offensive line is averaging 6'2", 6'3", you know, close to 300 pounds, if not over 300 pounds for those starters and the backups. And so that's going to be something that's going to be big time for guys like Keaton Mitchell and Rajee Harris to have the big hogs up front making plays. Defensive line, the one thing I loved about Blake Harrell, you know, a couple of years ago was that he started out by just playing a ton of guys. I mean, he was playing 13, 14 linemen 2-3 years ago and getting those guys in, giving them opportunities to play. And so now we're starting to see the fruit of that labor because a lot of guys, you know, you're 10, 12 deep at defensive line with guys that can play. You don't know very many of their names. Some of them are transfers. Some of them are young guys that haven't played a ton. But I promise you, we got a ton of players on the defensive line because of all the opportunities they got earlier in their career over the last 2 years.
Mark Calloway chiming in on YouTube asked, how do we match up size and speed-wise? We've kind of already alluded to that, but really, based on what Coach Houston has said and what we've seen, we can stack up with anybody on our schedule in those areas. Sure, there may be some minor discrepancies, but it's not going to be a, you know, a deal breaker, so to speak, and just be a total difference maker in the game as it was in previous years. And then Robert, also chiming in on YouTube, says should be a low scoring defensive game. In his opinion, we need to win the turnover battle, which is obviously always key. And then he brings up the point that although we're talented at wide receiver, we have a lot of new pieces that Holton and those receivers trying to get on the same page against a very experienced, talented NC State defense.
Yeah, receiver and cornerback, I would say, are the two positions, and maybe even running back. You don't really need a playbook. You just need to be a playmaker. You line up, a coach says run a post, you run a post, go catch the football. You're a corner, a guy says you got this man, or you're in this zone, go play, go make a play. And at running back, they hand you the ball and you go make it happen. And so pretty much every other position, you know, it's a learning curve, you know, to figure out, you know, how to play quarterback or how to figure out linebacker, what to do on the defensive line. Like all these places are just tougher IQ wise. It's just going to take some time to get in the playbook and figure it out. But I'm not worried about a receiver coming in, you know, a guy like Winstead, 6'4", 215 or whatever, can come in right away and just go make plays. And that's what you're going to expect from somebody like that. And at the DB spot, either you can cover or you can't. And so whether they were here last year in the program or not, it won't matter. And so we can plug and play at some positions the learning curve is a little steeper.
And Kevin, with looking ahead as far as this time of year with the fall camp, what was it like as a player? Before we let you go, we got a few more minutes with you. Can you talk about that, your experience? I know it was 2 days back in the day with you, right? If my memory serves me right.
3 days.
3 days, okay.
Yeah, we came over in the morning just after breakfast. We'd have breakfast over at Todd Dining Hall around 7:38. We'd go over and get meetings. And then by 9:30, we were on the field. We'd be out there for an hour, hour and a half or so. And then we'd break. We'd go right to meetings. Then depending on what time it was, we might go ahead and have lunch. Right after lunch, we'd come back. You go back out on the field for another hour, hour and a half. You break, you go have meetings, and then you get a chance to go back to the dorm for an hour or so. You can rest, and then we're right back out there around 3 or 4 p.m. So that was what those days were like in the fall camp. Matter of fact, if I'm being honest with you, East Carolina summer fall camp was harder than Carolina Panthers. I made it all the way through Carolina Panthers fall camp, and it was harder than that because we were just out there so much. It was just so many meetings. It was so tough. The only difference in the NFL, it was like 4 or 5 weeks. I think they shortened it since then. It's not that long anymore. But it was, you know, beginning, you know, mid to late July, always to the end of August in the NFL. But in college, you got about a solid 2 weeks before you get ready to play your first game. And so it was so much harder back then. I'm sure these guys play with the same intensity level, and you know they may only have 2 hours on the field or whatever it is. But these guys are all bigger, stronger, faster than we were. It's more competitive, probably because there's so many good players. But in terms of how hard it was pretty hard back then.
Kevin, I seen CJ Johnson's back on the team, obviously, and maybe playing him at the slot a little more this year. It'd be interesting to see if he's in the slot or outside or kind of doing some of both. But I also read that he's been used at kick returner and punt returner some in practice, which surprises me a little. He's sure-handed, I know. Do you expect that to stick? Or who else do you think will work here in preseason camp at kick returner and punt returner to kind of replace the need?
Yeah, it was interesting because last year you saw a lot of guys. They had several corners back there. McMillan would go out and return kicks and punts before games. You had two or three different receivers doing it, including Tyler Snead, obviously, because he was the man. Malik Fleming would be out there some. And so it's usually going to be a corner, a safety, a running back, or a receiver is kind of how it's always been. Some of these young receivers, some of these transfers, I don't know that well, so I'm sure some of them will get the opportunity. But it's just it's always kind of fun to see what that looks like. CJ Johnson is one that I'm intrigued by. I think that the coaches Coach Houston has proven over the years that he wants a guy that's sure-handed. There were times where Tyler Snead wasn't getting very many yards, but he always caught the football, and that's what's most important. So they left him back there. Eventually, he started to break some and get some more excitement out there. I don't know that CJ Johnson has the quicks to be breaking them, but he's got straight ahead speed. So if you can give him a little bit of a crease, and as long as he's sure-handed, he can make plays. I'm happy to see that the young man has humbled himself and has got back into the program and has worked hard and done what the coaches have asked of him, because it got to a point to where I think he started to read his own press clippings and feel a little bit maybe better about himself than he should have. And it was a bit of a detriment to the team. And so to go through something like that and bounce back and get yourself back in the program and everybody kind of welcoming you back in, that means that he took some hard work in doing that. So I'm happy to see that that's happened. And I'm hoping he can have a big year.
Well, Kevin, looking forward to seeing you. I take it on Media Day coming up on the 20th, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I look forward to having an exciting season. It's definitely going to be a lot better than what we did a few years ago. Obviously, it'll be fun to watch it, and just want to wish you the best this season, and glad to have you back on the show, and don't be a stranger. Look forward to having you again very soon.
Yeah. Year number 20 on the broadcast. I'm just excited to be back. I don't know how much longer I'll do it. I'm hoping that one of my boys ends up playing some college football. And if that happens, I'll certainly be following them around the country. So we'll see. But I love the Pirates. I've missed one game in the last 19 years. And so I don't want to miss any. And I'm just excited to be doing it. And I'm glad to have Coach Houston at the helm. It seems like things are heading in the right direction.
All right. Thank you, buddy, very much. And we'll see you very soon in a couple weeks.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate Kevin McGrow. In fact, now in the green room, we'll bring him in, the executive director of the Pirate Club, Ryan Robinson. Ryan, man, good to have you back on the show.
Thank you, man. Y'all didn't have any like drinks or snacks in the green room.
Well, you know, when Kyle Barber's in there, man, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I was expecting a little more. How are we doing, guys? Good to talk to you again. I wish I was home relaxing, but it's a busy time right now.
No doubt. In fact, very happy, Ryan, to see that we're at least over 15,000, hoping to get 16,000 of season tickets out of the gate. I want to get your thoughts on that, because it's something we've been pushing really hard, not only to join the Pirate Club here on the show, but obviously season tickets are very important as we have NC State September 3rd.
Yeah, we're over 15,000. I think, you know, we went into this, you know, we might have – I don't know if it was 14,500 we talked about, but internally we were always saying 15,000. And to get over that is really a good mark. And the key thing is keeping them. So let's go out and have a good season. And, you know, to get 1,500, you know, new tickets, that's something to celebrate for Pirate fans, for them stepping up. And it's very, very appreciative. I think on the other side of the coin, single game tickets are going really well. Obviously the NC State game is the top of the mark there. We probably have sold probably a little bit over 11,000 single game tickets. Like to get that number up to about, you know, probably 16 or 17, which can happen. I told somebody today, David, you know, if you'd asked me last year heading into the South Carolina game, a lot of people were saying you're going to have 50,000, and trust me, I was telling people, hey, that's probably not going to happen, you know, just based on our numbers. I will tell you now, it is definitely a possibility. We're trending that way. We're still getting calls and tickets. So, you know, anybody wants to go to the NC State game, call. You know, obviously some of the lower-level chairbacks are beginning to sell out. But call season tickets. You can get them as low as $125. It's going to be a special atmosphere on September 3rd.
And what is the price for an individual ticket for the NC State game?
$75 in the lower level chairback and $70 anywhere else in the stadium.
So there you go. So you're a complete idiot, unless you're a Wolfpack fan, to buy a single game ticket for NC State versus a $125 season ticket. So if you're out there listening, Pirate Nation, and we're preaching to the choir here on the show, but if you're out there listening, $125 season ticket, or you can spend $70 to just go to the NC State game. I'm no mathematician, but even if I was a Wolfpacker, I believe I can make some money selling those other tickets on the secondary market. So I'd go on out there and buy my season tickets.
Well, I want to say, you know, I think sometimes over the last 3 years, obviously it's been tough. We've had the pandemic, and, you know, what I'm really proud of is coming out of the pandemic, we're 1,000 more tickets higher than we were, you know, in 2019. That's pretty cool. Obviously, during the pandemic, all the numbers kind of went down. But we should be proud of that at East Carolina. The fans should be proud. You know, we'll only have two schools that probably sell more season tickets. I know that we'll sell more season tickets. It's probably just Cincinnati and UCF. But I will tell you, when we start looking at single game attendance, which we look at it, we're going to be right there with them for single game and, you know, average attendance. So we should be proud of that, East Carolina. That's a really good number. And I think it's going to continue to grow as we go into September 3rd.
I totally agree with you, Ryan. That's one of the things I've been telling people. There's no doubt, like you're saying, that they're going to sell more season tickets than we are this year. But when you look at the average attendance with our home schedule and with the way this football program is improving, having the best season that it's had in 7 years, and just there's so many things that are headed in the right direction. And obviously Cincinnati can't have more than about 38,000. And then UCF about 44 and a half. So
yeah,
if Pirate Nation does what I know they can, then we can lead the American in attendance.
Yeah, we have other schools that call us all the time. And, you know, especially in our conference saying, hey, what have y'all done differently, whatever. And it's really, hey, we got a passionate fan base. And we're coming out of a pandemic. It's not been easy for all of us. And we've got some really unbelievable fans that they've been through hard times. And I think September 3rd, where I look at it too, is kind of like a little bit of a celebration. You know, we have our towers completely sold out. Last year we had trade club seats remaining. No trade club seats. And to be honest with you, we are trending really well on the Williams-Clark club side. So we all get it. We've sat here and talked about on this before. Premium seats, that's what a lot of people want. We're continuing to look at them. We're selling those at a brisk pace. But I was talking to our ticket director today, Coleman Spain, and he said our upper deck is looking really good from a season perspective. The key for everything, and it's hard to predict right now, is we're hoping that we get about 12,000 to 13,000 students. I think we will. You just don't really know that number. They'll start getting on campus the next couple of weeks. They're signed up for the Student Pirate Club. We'll have a better idea week of what that number is going to look like, but I can't imagine many students missing this game.
Ryan, one of the things that I know Kyle's too embarrassed to ask, he really wants to have a club-level seat or maybe in the press box. So I was wondering if we can make that happen for him.
Yeah, we can get him one, but David, we'll have to get, you know, he'll have to wire some money our way to the Pirate Club. But hey, the press box is the best place to sit in. It's unbelievable, the press box in the tower. I've been a lot of places. You won't find a nicer press box than what we have in the Town Bank Tower. I will tell you that for sure.
Unfortunately, Dave, I probably won't be at the NC State game, but nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get you one time if you'll go up to the press box with me, Kyle. One time, that will be fantastic.
Hey, now, Ryan, while we're talking about the game day atmosphere and so forth, I know a lot of folks have had questions as far as concessions and, you know, the staffing issues that were experienced last year with COVID and so forth. And then also just talk about the new scoreboard and ribbon boards that are being installed at Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yeah, I mean, we were having lunch today, John, JJ, and I, and we talk about the concessions sometimes three times a day. I thought John Gilbert said something interesting the other day where he said, anytime I look and see a long line, you know, the hair on the back of my neck goes up, because that's not what we want. That's revenue, but it's also, we don't want our fans waiting. Obviously, NC State game, there's going to be some lines. We have been assured that we'll have multiple areas. Obviously, water will be at a premium. You know, a lot of things for me, it's having access to just go buy water. You know, maybe you don't want a beer, you don't want a pretzel or a hot dog. I just want a water. That is very important to us. Listen, I went down to some of our games last year, not happy. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. But we've got a good group that's working on it. We're meeting regularly, especially now. So I feel, you know, I feel good about it, but we're going to continue to monitor it. And I'm not going to be it, you know, lie to anybody. If I go down to NC State game and it's not good, then it's not good. But I will tell you, we are doing everything we can to be prepared, and I'm pretty confident in Airmark and our vendors. You know, I'm really excited about the scoreboard and ribbon boards. They're just needed. I think anybody knows that. You know, I don't know how many times in the last couple of years you end up with a little strip in our scoreboard, like a little black mark on our scoreboard. It used to drive me crazy. They're working on it every day. We might, you know, be putting some nails up there during the specialist period on September 3rd, but everything's going to be locked and loaded and ready to go. The new speakers, I'm excited about that. It's going to be – you're going to notice the difference. You know, one of the things we're doing right now is, you know, we're putting the ribbon board down on one side where we had the All-American. So we've taken that down, and we're working right now to find another location to put all the All-Americans. Obviously, that is extremely important to us. But there's a lot to be done in this next month, or less than a month. There's a lot to be done, and you know, we kind of joked with Coach Houston is, you know, they can practice in the stadium, but we're not stopping on that scoreboard because they it's 7 days a week to get that thing going. So I'm really excited about that. I tell you the other thing, you know, if you're around campus, the new weight room is coming along. They've got the brick on it. It looks fantastic. I cannot wait for that to open probably in early October.
Ryan, one of the things I saw, and I know the guys love soccer so much, I say that sarcastically, but I went to my first MLS game a couple weeks ago, and at Bank of America, they had something I thought would be neat, even though it was the wrong drink. It should be Pepsi, but they have, unfortunately, Coke products. But anyway, that's fine. But they actually had where you get a cup at the concession stand, and you walk over to the – like you're going to a fast food place where they you walk over there. So what they did is they sold me a cup for like $8 or something like that, a big souvenir cup. I walked over, got the Coke product. Sorry, Minji's family, they didn't have Pepsi. And I went over there and got the drink, and I filled my drink up like 3 or 4 times. Is that something we could do not only to help for the line, but also fan-friendly pricing?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Now, was there a line at all when you went over to fill up?
Unfortunately, it was a lightning delay, so a lot of those fans left, and they couldn't come back in. They didn't know they couldn't come back in. That was good for me, but not for them. But I was wondering that very thing, too. But I thought it was cool how it was like a hot dog, how you don't put all the condiments on it. You have the condiments separate. You just hand a person a hot dog. I just thought it was a cool idea.
At the end of the day, you know, what we'd all like, and they're starting to have this in stadiums, is it's almost like a hotel gift shop where you grab everything and then you pay for it. They kind of do that at the Charlotte airport where you kind of pay for it. We are going to have some new credit card, you know, swipe machines. I know they're bringing those in board. But no, you're right. You hit on a key point. A lot of times it's purchase it, get out of the way, and then you can, you know, put stuff on your hot dog or whatever. But like I said, you know, a lot of that is charity groups. They said that they've got all the groups lined up. Everybody has staffing issues. We're not going to have a staffing issue for the NC State game. It's too important. Our fans have risen to the occasion. And listen, it's going to be a tough month for Pirate fans. I mean, 4 straight games, that's a lot on your body. For some of those Pirate fans that like to partake in beverages before and after and during the game. So that'll be a lot on you for 4 weeks. We do got to be smart for the NC State game. Obviously, if it gets a certain temperature, we'll have a heat plan, but we're already discussing that. We want people to enjoy the game. I told somebody the other day, I think it's let's enjoy it. Maybe you can party afterwards, but want to make sure you get to see the game. And it's going to be, you know, unfortunately, it's probably going to be hot. I mean, that's part of the deal.
Ryan, we had a game, by the way. The guys remember this. Was that 2006, guys? Help me out the year, but it was the Appalachian State game.
2012.
Yeah, 2012.
I'm sorry. I knew it was something wrong. 2012, and it's the first game of the year, App State in Greenville. It was like kickoff, I think, guys, what was it, 96? It was way up there.
It was in the 90s. Heat index was over 100. It was 12 o'clock kickoff. It was brutal. Multiple heat strokes.
We had 400 people carried out of the stadium, Ryan, that day. I think some of that was because
I think they brought that up. JJ brought that up the other day that's what, you know, we'll work with the local officials, but we don't want that. You know, we want people to, be prepared for that kind of heat, but you never know. It's Eastern North Carolina, man. I played golf one day and it was 98 degrees. And then I came the next day and it was like nice 85 degrees. So you really don't know. You know, watching our football team, I was watching a little bit the other day. I mean, that's a tight-knit group. I'm really excited about this football team, just the way they get along. I get to see them interact, you know, coming off the elevator, coming out of the locker room, and just really, really some good kids.
Ron, how's the capital campaign coming for the indoor practice facility and all the other accoutrements?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It is going really well. You know, I think anytime you do a capital campaign, it takes time for a lot of these major gifts. And I am so encouraged by the conversations, the meetings we have. And you'll start to see some of that over the next couple months. Some of these gifts come out. Obviously, we're trying to announce as many gifts as we can during the week and then via email. But it's really been – you know, our donors, and I'm including all three of you, like our donors at East Carolina are spending more money than they've ever spent. You know, when we open up that tower, you know, that's an extra expense. People buy in the suite. They're giving more than they've ever given. Now, there's different buckets. You know, we're asking them right now, you know, Dave Richmond, he's supposed to, you know, he's got a $5 million check coming our way. I haven't cashed it yet, but there's different buckets right now. There's the campaign. There's football season tickets. I know some people are getting asked on the NIL. So there's different buckets right now, and I just sit back in awe sometimes of our supporters. But we're moving along well, Kyle, and I think you'll see more of those announcements as the next couple months go on. Now, we need a couple to close that we've been meeting with. And anytime you build an indoor facility, let's say no one, if anybody tells you how much it's going to cost, they're lying, because we don't know just the way prices and everything. But when you're doing a facility of $18 million or whatever, you're going to have some lead gifts of, you know, probably $7 or $8 million, and then you kind of fill in. And we're having conversations that are going to lead us that way. The baseball building has been, you know, really Cliff's been amazing too, you know, helping fundraise, talking to the right people. I know he's going to Charlotte tomorrow to meet with some donors. So he's been incredible. Really excited about the swimming locker room will be done in September. We're selling lockers right now for that. And then Minji's, we've had multiple people over at Minji's. We're close to, you know, making a purchase of new courtside seats and new bench seats. And then, you know, one of the things we want to do is put chair backs in certain areas at a lower level. And again, it takes time, you know, and that's why we're doing this campaign. It takes time, but the conversations and the money that's come in is truly amazing.
Ron, has there been any talk, you know, raising money for so many different things? One thing that I've noticed and that kind of bugs me, when you walk into the stadium, or when I say walk into the stadium, I mean underneath the stadium, when you come in the gate from outside, you're underneath the stadium where the concessions and the bathrooms are, it looks like you're underneath an old roller coaster or something. It's ugly. And it's very poorly lit. Has there been any talk of kind of maybe putting, you know, painting some things, maybe put some purple and gold paint throughout the area under the stadium, and better lighting, and maybe some LCD TVs around so you can kind of watch the game while you're getting concessions and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's funny. There has been a lot of talk. Now, are you talking on the south side or the north side?
I'd be talking on the I always get confused. The upper deck side.
Yeah. No, you're right. Where I see it a lot, Kyle, was every year at Pigskin Pigout. It gets pretty dark in that area. Yeah, and there's definitely been talks on the TVs. One of the things that we're hoping we get finalized, hopefully in the next 2 days, we're going to put some windscreens. You know where kind of our kids zone is? So that will cover up the stadium part. You know how you kind of walk up and you've got – you can almost see inside the bathrooms and all. So we're trying to put some windscreens up. We've got a donor that has stepped up. And then also above gate 2 in the tower, there'll be a windscreen. And on the other side, you know, we're looking at, you know, it could be a pirate helmet, some different images. So, but on the lighting part, that has been discussed a lot. I think paint would play a large role in that to lighten it up. So I'm glad you kind of mentioned that. That way I can go to JJ McLamb tomorrow and say, hey, the people want new paint.
And one of the things kind of along those lines, dressing up the outside or the underneath Concourse of the stadium, much like at Clark LeClaire Stadium, where, you know, where you have graphics with players that made it to the big leagues, excuse me. It'd be nice to, you know, to eventually be able to have the funds to do some of those sorts of things with Jeff Blake, Robert Jones, Dwayne Harris, Chris Johnson, et cetera.
Oh, no, you're right. You know, that's why we're with these All-Americans. We're talking about, you know, I had a hard time seeing All-Americans where they're at right now. And I had a hard time really seeing them from the south side. So we're looking now at a place, obviously, you know, they're going to be up. That is a very important part of history. We're looking at that. And I think you're right. And some of that, Bubba, I know it's a cost, but some of that stuff is really like a fathead. I don't know if y'all seen those. I mean, now graphics are expensive. I'm not going to lie to you. Like when we get new coaching staffs come in, they all want new graphics. They're not cheap, but some of that can be done in a way that, you know, looks right. You know, one of the things we're talking about with the indoor facility is having kind of a walkway from the back of, you all know where the football team goes in, the back of Ward.
Yep.
Having a walkway to that indoor, like a nice walkway, and then with a plaza that could be a little bit of, you know, whether it's statues where you're listening to all-time greats, that's a place we need more places our fans on game day can go to. You know, you can obviously go to the Hall of Fame, but really places that you can go, I call it photo opportunities, places where you can go and get a picture. I used to go to a lot of baseball games. I love going to the new Reds Park because I was grew up a Reds fan, and you know, it's Johnny Bench, all these different people there you can take a picture with. It's pretty cool. So those are great points that I'm going to bring up. We got a big meeting on Thursday, and I'm going to bring some of those up.
Ryan, this one idea that I have, and I don't know if I mentioned to you and John before, but the guys know, I really want to see if there's any way that we can have a year-round sports bar there at Dowdy-Ficklin, if that's possible at all, because there's a lot of Pirate fans that we all like to get together. And you know we love Pirate beverages, but a way that we could make additional income every single day.
Man, Macy Gladson, who I work with in the Pirate Club, you know, we have to have more rentals of Town Bait Tower. That is revenue comes in. And someone had talked about that, David, the other day, about once a week, the tower's open from, let's just say it's 5 to 8. You put a little band in there and, you know, you're sitting around, because if you've never been in the Trade Club, it's a great place to kind of sit around a bar, stand around a bar, I guess, per se. So, no, that's a great idea. And it's very – right now we've got to utilize the Town Bait Tower more with rentals. Unfortunately, the way that the area is built, it's tough to do weddings in there. You know, Harvey Hall is probably better for a wedding.
Right.
But that is one of our priorities that we've listed as kind of a leadership team, is utilizing the Town Bait Tower more.
And the I know we have Bubba, help me out with his name, the analyst for Houston. He comes on and they talk about how, because obviously Houston's a lot higher than even probably Greenville, but and obviously the humidity, about they actually, with their indoor practice facility, they have an indoor tailgate where they charge, kind of like what we do for the Alumni Association, but they do an indoor tailgate, and that's the way they can make more money on game day. I didn't know if that's something that we don't have to worry about that right now. But
no, but I mean, hopefully we're – but I'll be honest, Dave, there's two projects that are going to, you know, be revenue in terms of the indoor facility, using that for tailgate. Now, it could be an area – that Coach Houston could use for his recruits. You know, if you've ever been into, you know, right now Coach has to use Minji's to put all his recruits in. The Hall of Fame area is all taken up by football and game day. The indoor is going to be an option for him. But the other area is, I know y'all seen the new baseball building. That little porch area up there will be sold on game day to fans as well. So there's going to be a couple new tailgate options. I know in the NFL, the indoor facilities are used a lot on game day. So really it's a matter of what football, and as we discuss, you know, for our recruits, these recruiting weekends are getting so big now. It's kind of out of control, the unofficial visits, official, which is pretty cool. I think the NC State game, I hope there's room for the teams to warm up before the game, because there's going to be so many recruits on campus.
Ryan, obviously NIL and the collective is separate from the Pirate Club. It has to be. But how do you see, not just with East Carolina, but in collegiate athletics period going forward, booster clubs and NIL collectives, if you will, coexisting? Because essentially you're going after the same money. You know, you got to have the NIL money for the players. If you want the players to keep coming here, because if you don't, somebody else will. And we got to have facility upgrades. So you're kind of asking the same people for the same money, you know.
Oh, so, Kyle, you're right. That's why I talked about the different buckets. Our donors, and I'm talking every, when I say donors, I'm talking the $100 donor. Like, they're giving more than they've ever given. Now, we've got to get that younger generation to come. That, you know, we've got some people that have been with the Pirate Club for a long, long time and have given, you know, I looked the other day, I think when I got here, we probably had 10 to 11 people have given over a million. That number is growing, you know, all time. It's hard, you know, because I know Team Boneyard, that is a great collective, and that helps ECU from a recruiting aspect. Now, the key is putting money in that collective, and you do. We have donors doing it. You know, you look at SMU, where I saw they're doing like $3.5 million. Does that hurt Coach Houston and, you know, Coach McNeil, Coach Schwartz? Yes, in recruiting. When it comes down to it, we've got to continue to find ways for our student athletes to be compensated through the NIL. You know, one of the things, you know, it's really any kind of group can come forward, whether it's having a golf tournament, having a bowling event where all the proceeds go, you know, to these student athletes, whether it's basketball, football, whatsoever. Now, we have a lot of NIL deals right now. I will tell you that. We have numerous football players that have NIL deals, other student athletes as well. It's got to grow, Kyle. It's just hard for me. I can't complain. I guess I can't sit here and complain because I see the support that's coming into the Pirate Club on a daily basis. So we've got to continue to work our way through that. Now, if you ask me, if I put my AD hat on, I think in 3 years, you're not going to have NIL. It's going to be possibility of pay for play. So that's kind of where I see a lot of this going in the next 3 or 4 years.
Ryan, talking about basketball with Coach Schwartz, we had a great conversation with him on Friday, liked him a lot. As far as being a basketball fan like you are, what are we going to do as far as I had a game where, unfortunately, I bought some tickets that were way up in the nosebleeds. I haven't sat there in a long time. And my daughter looks at me and said, "Dad, what's the score?" And she was really into it. She couldn't see the scoreboard. It was really difficult. And I hadn't set up there. It was actually good for me to sit up there. I haven't set up there in many years.
Is that where you usually sit, Dave, behind the band?
Yeah, but not that area. I was sitting in another different section at a game last year, and I couldn't see very well. And so I was just wondering if in the process of renovations for Menjis, because it's been way too long, if there's a way, I know they've always said, I think we talked about it before with you on the show, with the overhead like scoreboard there, structurally we can't do that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not going to say you can't do that because we've had some donors that have asked. Yeah, I thought you were going another route because one of the main things that we're looking at now is some kind of scoreboard with balls and strikes facing the jungle. We get that a lot from people in the jungle, and that's something we'd like to try to figure out quickly. But for basketball, I really hadn't heard that much. Now, I do think our crowds are going to continue to increase. I think Coach Schwartz said something the other day that really I hear coaches talk a lot, but this one really struck me. He said, you know, I want people to come to our games to watch ECU, not to come and say, oh, Memphis has 2 first-round picks or Houston doing this. I want them to come to watch ECU. And I will definitely – I really need to look at that. I have not heard that before, David. So I have to tell you, I need to check that out in terms of the scoreboard. I watched a lot of our basketball practices. I think what I see is a team that's very close. Now, a lot of new places, new players. I think you're going to see some continuity. I think you're going to have some players that are going to come back, and it's going to kind of build that way. But with the transfer portal, you know, you're always going to have the transfer portal. But there's some talented guys that it's interesting. No one knows about right now. And once you see them, it's going to be like a wow. It's just – you know, right now they're kind of they're gone now. They'll come back at the end of August. And Coach Schwartz wants to do some open practices, you know, for our fans. I think it's important that these kids get to meet our fan base. I mean, when people see this kid, Caleb from South Central, it's unbelievable to watch. He's 5'6", but he's got a heart of just, and he's a great kid. So we've got to do our job getting the basketball program you know, out to meet these fans. And that goes for women's. You know, I think Kim O'Neill's excited about her team this year. But the transfer portal, I tell you, in basketball, it's changed the game. I know it's changed in football, but basketball is it's hard to keep up with.
No doubt about it. As far as basketball, Bubba and I wanted to ask you, as far as we talked to Coach Swartz, something we want to work with you and John on is we really want to do something special for the basketball team, meaning a tip-off dinner that we can raise money for the basketball program to help Coach Swartz out, like we told him. And also, we really want for the fans, not selfishly, but I think it will be really cool having a new coach. I know it's not going to start at midnight, but some kind of midnight madness thing that we can do. And I know B-Pay is on the show here listening on, I think he's watching on Facebook, a great DJ. We've got a lot of people like myself that will do anything to help you guys out with
that. I am all for it. I've been trying. I'd like to do it. I'm a basketball nut. I grew up going to Midnight Madness, University of Kentucky. I have camped out before. I tell you, it used to be my favorite thing every year. Well, one of the things we're trying to work out with Coach Swartz and Coach and Kim, they're both great, is I'd love if you had a 6 o'clock game, Dave, you know, I'd love to have like an inter-squad scrimmage. The issue is the way we're set up is, you know, we've got to use Minji's for kind of that tailgate area before football. But man, you know, we used to do it at Tennessee where it's like, man, what a day. You get to go watch basketball, and then you go right to a football game. But Coach and I, we've talked about it. We're going to do multiple events for the public leading up to the start of basketball season. But I like the Midnight Madness. I'm a little worried about Pirate fans having till midnight. That's a little scary. But
not that time. But
I kind of learned that in the baseball super regional. You give Pirates about 6 or 7 hours with nothing to do, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah, that's why we didn't have night games for many years. Right, fellas?
Now, Ron.
No, Dave, that was because Henry Hinton – or not Henry Hinton, Lord have mercy. Mike Hamrick I won't use the word, but Mike Hamrick was very against night games.
No, Ron. We had a night game on September 3rd.
No doubt. We had a couple questions from our viewers regarding season tickets and so forth. Brandon Forbush asked, when will the season tickets start getting emailed out?
Probably August 15th. We finished allocating, you know, the Pirate Club had the 2 weeks. Pirate Club members could request tickets. So the goal is August 15th. We had a meeting this morning. That's what Coleman Spain told me today. So if you don't get them by August 15th, call Coleman Spain. Not Ryan Robinson, but they'll be out the week of August 15th. And it's really good because it gives us time if someone wants to call and say, hey, I got the wrong tickets, whatever, we can work with them. But that is the time frame they're going out.
And Sarah Sanders had a question more on the lines of selling and marketing season tickets, but she said that she had seen other teams sell season tickets through – Sam's Club or Costco or Walmart. What are your thoughts?
I actually thought that was anything a joke. Like that. Someone sent that to me. I actually thought that was a joke. I still struggle if that's real. We have not explored that. You know, I think the biggest thing for me has always been the personal relationships. Like, I want people to call us or go online, call the ticket office, find what works for them. You know, payment plans, whatever. And the biggest thing, too, for me, Bubba, is I want people to come to the games. Like, I want you to buy tickets, and I want you to come to the games. I actually did think that was a joke when I first saw it. That is not something we've explored. Not saying that we wouldn't. We've got some great partners. But, that is not something that we have discussed. But, hey, maybe if it helps us get to 16,000, we'll, we'll give them to Minji's Bottling Group, and they can put them in all their stores.
And as far as the numbers with the Pirates Unite, I know I'm putting you on the spot here. I know there was an update on the website yesterday. It appears as though, $2.5-3 million in hand. But can you tell us?
We're closing in on $4 million. But again, I had a gentleman reach out to me kind of the same question the other day. We're updating the thermometer, but I don't worry about the thermometer as the Pirate Club executive. I'll tell you why. Because I know the conversations we're in right now that could flip that thermometer upside down. So it's been unbelievable, the gifts that we're getting every day, and we're showing our appreciation. I wish I had. We got our new T-shirts in that you'll be seeing. That if you give $500 or more, it's got a Pirate Club logo on the back. It says, "I support ECU student athletes." It's a one-of-a-kind shirt, and it's kind of a dry fit. But, Bubba, we're trying to update that. But that thing could flip tomorrow if we get, you know, a signed agreement that we have out there. I'm looking at, you know, really my – I'm looking at it where we're going to get the $25, $30 million. Listen, I own that. I'm overseeing the Pirate Club. We're going to get there. Is it going to happen by November this year? Absolutely not. But we're going to get there. I promise you that.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask that, because I know that can be misleading, as you said, because Coach Houston is talking, he's referenced in general terms these conversations that he's had with you guys as far as being on the brink of a lot of big time gifts.
Yeah, and they take time. You know, if I'm going to ask you for a lot of money, I don't expect you just to say, "Hey, let me fax you over the commitment." And it's a lot of it's on relationships. I will tell you, I've met with a lot of people over the last 3 or 4 months, and John's been with me. Coach Houston's been with me on some. Cliff's been with me. Coach Schwartz. So we're doing the right things. We got a really good fundraising staff that I really do think as we start football, Bubba, you'll see that thermometer take some leaps.
One serious but not serious question. Any hope? I know you're best friends with Mr. Beast. Is there any hope that we can get – we hear that all the time, Ryan, seriously and not seriously. Can Mr. Beast just write a $30 million, $20 million check for the indoor practice?
I'm sure he could, and we would take it. We can go over to Publix and cash it. Listen, Mr. Beast has been good. Mr. Beast uses some of our facilities. He rents some of our facilities. He's got a really good group around him. They'll come to some of our games. He's friends with some of our student athletes. So we've enjoyed that relationship. Obviously, the other one always people say, "Why don't you just go see Vince McMahon?" Now, I'm more interested in seeing Sandra Bullock. I have reached out to Sandra Bullock. I think we're going on now 10 times, 10 different ways I've tried to reach her and her people. So we try that. Mr. Beast, we got a good relationship with his group. Man, what he's doing, I stand in awe. Sometimes I wonder, where did it go wrong for me? But Mr. Beast is a pretty cool person to have in Greenville. I know people that come visit me say, "Hey, you know Mr. Beast is from here?" I'm like, "Yeah, I understand it. We've done some videos with him." But listen, if we had somebody that could, you know, step up for $20 million, that'd obviously be great. But I think what's pretty cool is it's why it's Pirates Unite. Everybody's going to kind of unite together, and we're going to build these facilities that kind of put us on an even slate. Because I will tell you, these other schools that are coming into conference, they're all doing campaigns, a whole lot more than $60 million. So we got to be ready, because I think we have an edge when these new schools come in. But it never stops. I mean, they're building and building and building, and they're coming. But I think this year, what I'm excited about is, if you really look after our fourth game, we have three games remaining. Those are good football games at home. Memphis, Central Florida, and Houston. You're talking about three schools that are going to be in the hunt for the title. I love our schedule. Do I wish maybe we had a break in between the four games? But just the way the schedule came out. But I am fired up for 2022 football season. Don't want it to come right now. We got a lot of work to do, so I'm in my office at 9 o'clock at night, but we're going to get there.
No doubt, Ryan. As far as an idea I had, using social media, is there any way that we can, maybe you guys have already talked about it, but I'm an old dog. I'm trying to learn new tricks, like the cliche goes with when it comes to raising money. Is there any way that we could do some kind of, I don't know what they would call it, but a fundraising event on YouTube, Facebook, where we can get our donors, maybe those of us that could give $10, $25, and then have the big checks, kind of like you see with the Children's Miracle Network thing. But that's something that I really want to do. I don't know if you guys will do it or not.
No, I'm all for it. You know, listen, at the end of the day, it's all supporting our student athletes. We've got two soccer student athletes that work in the Pirate Club right now, and it's pretty cool for them to learn about, $100 donor. It's important. And no, I'm all for doing something like that. You know, we do the Pirate Nation Gives, where that's very beneficial for the Pirate Club. But the only thing I'll leave it at this is asking is support the programs. Like if you know, we got a big soccer game coming up, I believe August 18th. I mean, we got the Duke Blue Devils coming in here. We got a new coach that everybody's excited about. So really support our programs. Come to our athletic events. Come to campus. Listen, do we need revenue? Man, we want to see your faces. We want to build relationships with you. And that's why I find this place very special, Greenville. I'm trying to hire a marketing person. I will tell you exactly what I just told him, right before I got on this call is, listen, when I came to Greenville, I didn't think I'd be here, 4 years. But you come here and you realize how special the people are, how special the community. You are in no rush to leave. I don't even ever think about leaving because this now feels like home.
No doubt about it. And one more thing, I know we have to promote for you. I know we have, two things, actually. We have Meet the Pirates on the 20th, and we also have that football luncheon, too.
You need to get on it. If you haven't signed up for the kickoff luncheon, you need to sign up this week. We are moving towards a sellout, and we're going to do some different things this year. Obviously, we have the coaches. We're going to have some student-athletes there as well. So get on that. Next Saturday – I mean, listen, for a football fan, you know, they're going to scrimmage on the field. Now, you'll see on there no video or photo. We do have to kind of protect our team. We don't want anybody sliding up here from Raleigh taping our practice. But then afterwards, we'll have football. We'll have our soccer, volleyball, cross-country, dance, cheer, PD, all signing autographs. So get the kids out early. It starts at 9:30. You'll be home by noon, Dave will have time to go home, run. He'll still be able to run his 10 miles in the afternoon. Bubba will be able to do what he does. And it'll be a great morning.
Well, we'll have media day. Maybe I can do the 10 miles after. That'll be Bubba.
That's right. Media day is afterwards, right?
Yeah. So after media day, Bubba and I can run 10 miles.
That's right. And I will watch you. I'll drive around and watch you.
And then you have to take it to me to where I work at the hospital. So
I appreciate Rob, you guys having me on.
Thank you so much.
I will tell you, something I'd love for you all to do it when you can is, maybe try to get a couple student athletes on. We've got some incredible student athletes here. So I'll be happy to help you with that.
Absolutely. We'd love to have them on, Ryan. And, last year we really enjoyed having Ryan Jones and then also Jaira Wilson on throughout the football season, beginning about game 4 or 5.
Yeah, and I will tell you that Kyle's headshot there scares the living daylights out of me.
why does it scare you?
You just got the sunglasses on. You look like if I said the wrong thing, I'm going to get my butt whipped.
Normally that could be a fear for anyone, but right now I'm not in butt whipping shape for anybody. No fear right now, my friend. You can take me real easy.
You all have a great night, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Go Pirates. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Great to have Ryan Robinson and Kevin Monroe. What a great show. And thanks for all the people viewing and listening. The show is really growing. So thanks for people. By the way, I want to remind fans to like our Facebook page. And certainly you can follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Bubba has surprised me. I went to the Redskins, now Commanders season. Well, it's not their spring training, if you will. Not spring training. spring training.
I think it's called fall camp.
Fall camp. Well, yeah.
Open training camp practice at FedEx Field.
Thank you. And the views have been amazing. I didn't think people would care about my taking it, and Bubba put it all together. So it was a team effort. And anyway, that's very cool. So we've got a lot of great content on there, right, Bubba?
Yeah, really appreciate everyone subscribing on YouTube. If you have not done so already, be sure to click subscribe. Also, click the notification bell so that way when we go live or when we upload new content, be it an interview or, you know, game day when we're putting up a video of the Pirate Walk or the atmosphere at Dowdy Ficklin or what have you, then you'll be notified on your device and watch it whenever you get the opportunity.
No doubt. And guys, we'll announce soon, very soon, but we have more coverage coming up. We'll just say that for our sports. And we'll talk about that in the next week or two as we unveil more programming. I'll just leave it at that. That's a nice little tease, right, Bubba? And our business will tease. So you have to view or listen to find out about more about great stuff coming to the Sports Objective TSO. And Bubba, thank you. By the way, Bubba unveiled the new Sports Objective logo. I think it looks fantastic. And for sure, Bubba and Kyle, do you have anything before we go?
I've got nothing, guys. I got a lot on me personally right now before the season starts. And just hoping everything goes well and I can enjoy the NC State game. There's a new logo. And I can enjoy the NC State game from the comfort of my home. And maybe, who knows, God willing, I'll be there for the ODU game. But, yeah, I love the new logo, TSO. That's for the Sports Objective, if anybody wondered what that TSO stands for.
You know, everybody does it. Like the Learning Channel now is TLC. So we just wanted to do something cool. And Bubba achieved that with that new logo. So great job to Bubba. I want to give him a shout-out for that, no doubt. Kyle, enjoyed having you back, man. We're thinking about you. You're always, you know, you're one of our brothers, so you're always welcome here, and we're pulling hard for you. And certainly, no doubt, well, not only tomorrow, but coming up in a couple weeks, and then I think it's less than 2 weeks away for your surgery. We'll pray hard for you, and then certainly want to have you back. We need you as loud as possible for that Campbell game, man.
Well, hopefully I'll be there for an ODU game. I'm hoping, but I hope. Right. Look, right now, just to be personal about it, I just want to get through the surgery and then find out what I'm going to have after that. And everybody, you know, I'll shamefully ask for everybody to keep me in their thoughts and prayers. And, you know, it's tough right now, but, you know, I'm a pirate and I'll get through it.
It's just exactly pirate. It's just a pirate. Exactly, Kyle. You are a pirate and it's just a storm and you'll definitely get through it for sure. Do you guys have anything before we go? Get out of here. All right, I guess not. Thank you very much to our great guests. Thanks to all the viewers and listeners. A lot of great questions tonight. We appreciate you so much. It's been growing and growing and growing, and certainly appreciate that. Thanks to Bubba for producing. Want to thank our special guest tonight, Kevin McGrow, 20th season for the Pirate Sports Radio Network, and, of course, Executive Director of the Pirate Club, Ryan Robinson, both friends of the show. Thanks to them as well. Until next time, we appreciate you so much, and as always, go.
My heart.